And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. And Bridget Riedel, she's taking a hooky day. Hey, she's not dumb. It's a beautiful day out.
It's a beautiful day out.
So we have Sarah Lovis joining us. Sarah, welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. You're no rookie at this. You've been here before.
Well, I appreciate you letting me join. I am no replacement for Bridget Riedel, but it is fun to hang out with you today, Dean. So thanks for having me around.
Thanks for coming on. And we'll have a special guest coming on later, Carrie Hammer, who is the Associate Dean with the College of Ag out at NDSU. Is that correct? I believe so. And so Carrie will be joining us a little bit later on in the show. But boy, if you haven't stepped outside, it doesn't feel like mid-September. It feels like October. No, it does not feel it. We were just talking about the October
no,
blizzard back in 19. This feels more like summer, and I will call this a top 10 day because humidity levels are low, and we're looking at temperatures. Records on this date are low to mid-90s, so we're not going to make it there.
Okay.
But, I mean, 86 degrees is where we'll probably top out at, but some spots a touch warmer than that. In fact, we're looking at temperatures out there right now at 82 degrees. I'm sorry, 83 degrees right now. And we're going to continue to see our temperatures climb up to about 86 for this afternoon with those winds lightly blowing out of the northwest about 5 to 10. And then we'll see a few clouds come in late tonight down to 60. And as we head into Wednesday, we're looking at more clouds increasing from the south as we'll have an area of low pressure rotating in from the central plains. We'll have northeast winds 10 to 15 and highs in the upper 70s. And then as we head into Wednesday night, we'll see rain spreading in from the south, and we will see scattered showers continuing Thursday and Friday with temperatures in the 70s. The rain should start to exit the area on Saturday afternoon, and total rainfall, and it's going to be widespread rainfall across much of the area, about an inch to an inch and a half.
And you say widespread on that?
Widespread.
Tomato.
The only areas that may get a little bit less would be the far, far northern valley into northwest Minnesota. But that's no guarantee because, it looks like a wet system with at least an inch of rain across the entire area with some areas getting more.
Now, did you say that we were going to warm up after that rain system comes through?
Yeah. So I was just taking a look at some of our latest models, and what it looks like is next week. So we'll cool back down into the 70s here as we head into the weekend. And then as we head into next week, we're going to start seeing temperatures warm up. In fact, we're getting some indications we could have record warm temperatures by Wednesday of next week.
You know, that's actually a really good thing. The soybeans, they're taking a long time to ripen up this year for whatever reason.
It's been dry. Well, it's been dry enough here in the FM area, but surrounding areas, not so much.
Well, my agronomic theory with no scientific evidence to back it up.
Okay.
But my theory is that we had such a nice August where we had all that rainfall. Many of the farmers actually struggled a little bit with their small grain harvest because it was so wet. But you know, that really, kind of kept the soybean plants going. And so putting on more pods and all of that. And so now, they're very daylight sensitive. And so we're getting to a point where hopefully they're going to start shutting down. But boy, if we can keep this sunshine and this heat going, that kind of helps push them along a little bit. So, I know we got that rain system coming in there, but hopefully we'll get these soybeans ripened up so we can get those gleaners going and get those beans off.
How much harm would it do if we got an inch to 2 inches of rain here over much of the area?
Well, you know, I honestly think that it's going to depend upon what happens after that rainstorm comes through. You know, kind of asking a couple of my buddies, my soil sampling buddies around the state of North Dakota and South Dakota for kind of what the soil moistures are doing through the soil depths. And the Devil's Lake area is saturated. I mean, I'm looking at, I think there's white caps on the fields out there right now. So I'm sending that friend of mine, WD-40, for pulling his soil samples, and then also a case of beer. We put WD-40 in the probe so that you can get the soil samples to get out of the probe. They'll slip out a little easier. But most other people are kind of talking about pretty adequate soil moisture is going down. So we're sitting about right. If we can get enough evaporation off of the soil's surface, hopefully we can still get decent combining going on. You know, we still want those headers in the soybeans to kind of go over the float over the ground and not push mud. And of course, for the beet guys, we don't want to have too muddy a situation out there either.
Because isn't that a pushback harvest into, I mean, October?
Well, sugar beet harvest generally starts, the main campaign starts on October 1st, and we want to get it done 10 days, 2 weeks. That's hopefully the plan.
Okay.
But, you know, if we have some muddy situations out there, boy, that can get to be kind of an interesting battle at times. So we're really hoping that, you know, if we get 1 to 2 inches and we get those warm temperatures afterwards, mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll make it work. Okay. It'll be great.
And according to the LRC, which we use to forecast long term, it does look like we're going to go after this mid-month stormy cycle through this weekend. It does look like through the end of the month into the first few days of October, we start to dry out. That doesn't mean we're going to be totally dry, but we get out of this stormy period that we're in right now with these numerous systems coming through. I mean, look, last Sunday, a record number of tornadoes hit the state for the month of September. That's
that was amazing.
Heard of 19 tornadoes. And in the last 50 years, no, it's 70 years, I believe it was. I've got the notes in the office. We had a total of 27 for all that from 1950 to 2024. We had 27 tornadoes during that time period for the month of September. And in one day on Sunday, we had 19.
Yeah. Just that's amazing.
Incredible.
And this is the year that's had the most tornadoes touched down in the state of North Dakota. Is that correct?
Say that again?
This is the year.
Yes, this is the most tornadoes we've ever had in the state. Yeah. It's been an active season. And so that leads to questions Sarah was asking me. Are we going to have, and you know, because we've had an active summer and now going into fall, it's been quite active. Does that mean we're going to have an active winter? And the answer to that is it's too early to tell. We have to wait for our new LRC cycle to set. But then we were talking about, all right, we don't want to have any October surprises for harvest. And we were talking about when was the last big blizzard that hit North Dakota in the month of October. Now, I thought it was back in the 90s, and we were talking about that because I know there was one in the 90s, and I believe it was early 90s, that stretched from eastern Nebraska all the way up through the Dakotas, and it basically shut down Halloween for the kids. Now, we've had one more recent, and I was not up here at the time. I moved here a year later, 2019. I'm looking at this. And this is early, October 10th through the 13th. Does anybody remember this?
I totally remember. It was a really nasty storm.
701-293-9000. If you have any recollection of that, October 10th through 13th blizzard in 2019. Now,
that storm was actually way worse in central North Dakota.
30 to 36 inches from Harvey up through Langdon, Bontineau, 30 to 36 inches of snow along with wind. Jamestown, 12 to 18 inches. We had about 6 to 8 here in the FM area. It was basically the valley westward. You get into Minnesota, they didn't have a whole lot.
In the valley, we got rain. Now, I actually know sugar beet farmers that at the time didn't necessarily even take crop insurance on their beet crop because you would never not harvest a sugar beet crop.
Right.
That year,
they didn't.
The sugar beet crop did not come out of the ground. Oh. Never, ever.
How much of a loss would that have?
It was, and it was after that storm in the end of, it was like about 2 weeks after that, there was a huge meeting in Fargo where we had a bunch of people nationally coming in trying to figure out what to do. Not an acre of soybeans had really been harvested.
Mm.
We all had to wait for the ground to freeze and then go out and it was one of those years where as an agronomist, I would get phone calls. How do I combine my soybeans in the snow?
Right.
It was awful. And the markets were down. It was a very stressful time in farming.
And then we had COVID right after.
That would have happened in March in 2020.
Yeah. Right. And, yeah. Then we had COVID right at that time frame too. Oh man.
Planting season. Not only was that a rough harvest season, but that bled over into the spring of 2020. That spring, I was giving out three different fertilizer recommendations for the same field because the farmer didn't know if he could plant, what he should plant, and he would change his mind within a couple of hours on the same day. It was, and that storm in October started, it was nasty.
So I don't see a repeat of that, at least not in early October, not for this year. But again, the new LRC cycle starts right around that October 6th timeframe, and we'll be keeping a very close eye. And again, if we have a very stormy October into early or mid-November, then that's going to repeat itself through the upcoming winter. If that is a very quiet period around our area, then we might have another, that'd be the trifecta, back-to-back-to-back. Winters around here.
I really want to go snowmobiling.
So we want, I hear you. No doubt. Well, we're coming up on break, but when we come back, again, we'll have our guest on with us, which is Carrie Hammer. She's the Associate Dean of the College of Agriculture here at NDSU. If you have any questions for us throughout the show, shoot us a call, 701-293-9000, or you can email us, weather@flagfamily.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. I am not Bridget Riedel on this very fine day. My name is Sarah Lovis. I actually found my way out of the GK Technology Map Cave in Hillsboro, North Dakota to join Dean Wysocki, our meteorologist here this morning. We wanted to say a big thank you to our Here We Grow sponsors, Codico Fuels and Propane Ellingson Companies. The harvest video is at... and also just a reminder that if anybody has a question, please feel free to call in on the JLA phone line at 701-293-9000. With us today, we've got Carrie Hammer. She is Dr. Carrie Hammer, the Associate Dean of the College of Agriculture, Food Systems, and Natural Resources at North Dakota State University. Hail the Bison.
That's right. Go Bison.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. And tell us a little bit about yourself, Carrie. What do you do at NDSU?
Sure. That's a great intro, and I love it because it's a long title, right? Associate Dean. I oversee the academic programs. So basically anything that deals with our students within the College of Agriculture, Food Systems, and Natural Resources, I oversee their curriculum and just making sure student life within our college is going as planned.
That's awesome. Now, your pathway was through animal science, right? So tell us a little bit about your professional background and your pathway to where you are at NDSU.
I'd love to do that. So I am a student that I think maybe a lot of our students relate to, in that when I was getting ready to go to college, I was the kid who loved animals and wanted to be a veterinarian. So I'm from Iowa originally, so I went to Iowa State University, and when I got there, go Cyclones!
No, it's go Bison, come on!
Well, yes, when I'm here, it's go Bison.
Okay, but
when I'm in Iowa, it's go Cyclones.
All right, okay.
That's right. But I encountered a bunch of amazing faculty members who really shaped kind of what I wanted to do. And I fell in love with research and teaching and realized that I really wanted to do veterinary medicine, but also on the academic side. So I did go to vet school, but I did go on to graduate school too, and then ended up at North Dakota State University as an assistant professor in their animal sciences department, specifically working in their equine science program. So horses are a passion of mine, and I love those animals, really enjoy kind of watching out for their nutrition and health, and spent about the first 20 years that I was here really just kind of working within that program and helping horse owners around the state.
I did not realize that equine was your background. That is really, that's super fun.
It is. I would say horses are my passion, and those that have worked with me a lot also know that I did a lot of work with dairy cattle, too, so I kind of consider myself a kind of a closet dairy cattle person. I don't let that out all the time, but they have a special part in my heart, too.
And Carrie, as an associate dean, what's changed over the last, let's say, 10 to 15 years? Have you seen an uptick in students that want to get into the industry, into the ag industry, or is it declining?
I would say it's shifting. So in By shifting, I mean, you know, the amount of students that we have that are coming from the rural background where they have a lot of experience with animal ag, with plants, you know, farm machinery, that side is decreasing. But we still have a large number of students that are interested. They just don't always know exactly kind of what those pathways are because they just don't come with that background and experience in it. But they're excited, that same excitement level of the students that are here. You know, they really are passionate about learning and kind of finding their way within the career industries that are available to them. So that part I don't think has changed a lot. It's just shifted kind of where they're coming from and what their background experience has been.
You know, and to that point, it seems like sometimes it takes a little bit. You get into your career and you sort of learn about some other needs for education along the way. And it sounds like NDSU might have some great opportunities for that.
Oh my gosh, that was the best segue ever.
Did you see that? Yeah,
I did. That was fantastic.
She lobbed that softball right up there, didn't she?
I did. I know. I am super excited to talk about a new program that we have. We've been working on this for about almost 2 years from start to finish. And that is our new Master of Agriculture program. And this is the culmination of a work of a lot of people. I have to give a big shout out to a lot of our amazing faculty that stepped up to either change courses they're offering or develop new courses for part of this, as well as Danielle Condry and Christina Hargis and Sam Markell, who kind of helped spearhead a lot of the background work that we did. But this degree program is designed really for working professionals as well as students who are ready to take that next step and get some further education after they've completed their bachelor's degree. So it's a little different in that it is a Master of Agriculture. The other degree options that we have in the college would be Masters of Science. So that degree program is a little different, and what that means is that the degree is a little more flexible, and it's coursework only. So they don't have to do a research project, which tends to fall into our more traditional Master of Science programs, but they take courses, and they can complete it through stackable certificates. So they can just complete one certificate if that's all they want to do, or they can stack three certificates together to earn that master degree.
So how many credits are contained in just one certificate?
It's a great question, and it varies depending on the certificate. So 9 credits are the minimum that are required. So the certificates usually range from about 9 credits to 12 credits, just depending on the topic.
And how many credits are you thinking right now somebody should complete to earn that Master's of Agriculture degree?
So if they want to complete the full Master of Agriculture degree, they need to complete 30 credits. So that's the requirement for the Master's degree.
All right. So that therein lies the math.
And you said this is new, the master's program.
That's correct. This Master of Agriculture, we are just enrolling students. Our first students enrolled this fall.
How many?
So we have 5 that are enrolled currently.
Okay.
So fantastic, considering we just rolled it out in July.
Right.
And there's, I'm not sure the total number of applications that are in the works, but that number should double to even higher by next spring for the next enrollment.
Are there any other universities within let's say a couple hundred miles that have the same master's degree program?
Not that have a degree program like this. Okay. No, there are a couple probably within the U.S., but they are geared, they're farther away. They're not close here in the valley and kind of offering the you know, some of the specialized crop opportunities that we have here. And then also the ability for this degree program to be fully online is something that not all the universities have as well.
Oh.
So this program is fully 100% online, or are there options to be in person as well?
That's correct. They can do it in person and they can do it online. So there's opportunities for either depending on what fits that person's schedule and what they're looking for.
All right. Well, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, so we got to take a break and pay some bills. When we come back, we will continue to talk with Carrie. If you have any questions for Carrie, shoot us a call, 701-293-9000, or shoot me an email, weather@flagfamily.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:35 in the afternoon, and temperatures out there, 83 degrees. Oh, feels like summer out there. It is a beauty. And joining us in studio today is Carrie Hammer. She's the Associate Dean of the College of Ag at NDSU. And Carrie, we were talking off air here, and this is a new program for NDSU. And I was asking you off air, how many other universities that you know of have this a similar program like this?
Well, like I stated, when we initially were in the throes of kind of getting the program going, when we started that, we did a lot of interviews, surveys of our industry stakeholders to help kind of direct the certificates that we put together to make sure we were meeting a workforce need. And at that time, there were two others that I knew of that they were offering a similar degree program. Now, I haven't looked again lately, and I know a lot of the colleges are switching and kind of increasing some of their online programming, but not many and none in this immediate region.
Okay. That's great. I mean, for local students that really want to get into it, that's good news. Good deal.
And there are so many out there in the agriculture industry especially that, you know, you just love being out there on the farm. You love working out in the field or with the animals. And so you're doing that all day. And if this provides you an opportunity to get some education, that's great. So what are the programs that are available to pursue, or what are the certificates or the degrees that are available with this Master of Agriculture at NDSU?
I'm not going to list them all out because there's 18 of them.
We got plenty of time.
So you can have some options to pick from.
There are some options. But, you know, just going down a list of some of them, there's critical skills in agriculture. So just kind of some of those critical things in terms of like speaking, writing, thinking of things that we might need in general agricultural terms, sometimes referred to as some of the soft skills that we need for our industry jobs. There is a crop protection certificate, a crop production certificate. There is a malting and brewing certificate. Yes, malting and brewing certificate.
Okay.
One of my favorites for winning the kind of prize for creativity and naming is the malting, baking, and pasta making certificate.
Wow. Now, that sounds like a fun certificate. Absolutely.
Right? Yes. One Health, quantitative genetics, if you're into genetics, rangeland ecology. So you can see there's a large range, you know, as I start to go through those, from plant-based certificates to food-based certificates, animal health related. We've also partnered with the College of Business to offer their leadership and management certificate as part of this. So really, there's a lot of variety. And what that allows is, you know, maybe it's someone who is looking to increase a certain specific skill. Maybe they've changed their job a little bit, and now they're having to do something related to the cropping industry where they're historically been working in the animal or the livestock industry. So it allows them to pick up that certificate to fit the need of where maybe their job is changing, or maybe they're looking to move to a different sector within the ag industry, and it allows them to do that as well.
So often when we are pursuing extra education in agriculture, those advanced degrees, there's a practical nature to getting the coursework, whether it's lab work or doing some sort of field work. And I know that the Master of Agriculture itself isn't necessarily a research-based program, but what do you do for those coursework that might require that practical hands-on experience when it's an online format?
Right. And that is one of the challenges sometimes with online coursework, is how do you provide that same level of kind of experiential learning that sometimes happens on campus and in the labs? And there's two things that are happening. One is courses are picked in a way that, you know, they have the ability to do that. And so there are certain courses that lend themselves well to this online format, and there is still ways to get practical experience. You know, the student is utilizing something that is within their area. So they're going out, you know, if they're on the farm, they're going out into their field, or they're, you know, utilizing something that's within their area to achieve that assignment and get that experiential learning. But having said that, there are certain classes that just don't lend itself well to this format and need to be done on campus in some of our intensive lab systems.
And so if you wanted to get this extra degree program, is there a way that if you wanted, like, let's say there was one course that you wanted to take and you did actually want to drive to campus, could you stack that up and to make that coursework happen as part of this?
So the way the degree is set right now with the stackable certificates, you would take that degree as just an extra elective, or that course as an extra elective.
And we've got Ken on line one. He's got a question for Carrie. Ken, what's your question?
Well, I used to have draft horses and riding horses, and I never heard of a chiropractor for animals. And then I saw some programs. Now, is there really a need for that? Have you run across that, or is there people that see a need, so they'd like to have instruction? I guess I'll hang up and listen to you.
Thanks, Ken. Do they really have chiropractors for equines?
They do. They have animal chiropractors. You could take your dog or your cat to the chiropractor, and horses definitely go see the chiropractor.
Really?
How does this help the animal? Have you ever done this? Have you?
So, yes. And yes, it does, you know, just similar to humans, you know, horses, and especially we think of our horses as their main function is often as a performance animal. And so if they're not feeling quite right, if their backs hurt or their legs hurt a little, you know, they don't perform at their best. And there are veterinarians that offer chiropractic options for horses. It's not something that we have as part of our master's.
That was my next question. That was my next question. Is yes. that something you may foresee in the future?
Not
that much of a demand for it?
Well, there's definitely demand for it. We will not offer that here. In North Dakota, chiropractic medicine is limited to the practice of veterinary medicine. And so that would be courses that we would offer to veterinarians, and that's not just something that we are in the process of doing right now.
Who knew? How about acupuncture? They have acupuncture? I'm sure they do, right?
They do. Falls right in there. Chiropractic, acupuncture.
Wow.
You bet.
That is amazing. I've never heard it for dogs, horses either, but I never even knew that was available.
Yeah.
That is,
even wow. Show cattle sometimes get a little chiropractic and acupuncture.
Really? That's amazing. So, Carrie, if somebody is looking, let's say they're in high school and they're tossing up, you know, gosh, I'm not sure. Maybe I want to go to Iowa State. Maybe I want to go to Nebraska. Maybe I want to come up to NDSU. What elevator speech would you give them that, hey, this is the place to go if you're interested in our ag program?
Oh, my gosh. There are so many wonderful things about North Dakota State University. And first and foremost, I always tell them they have to come visit. So, you know, everybody has ideas, and a lot of times when I'm out traveling, I'll hear about, oh, I've never been to North Dakota. I don't know if I want to come up there, but come visit the minute they step on campus. It has such a small town feel, yet all the offerings that you'll have at those big universities. We have just some amazing world-class laboratories, our new Peltier building that just came online a year ago. Actually, maybe it's even been 2 years now. It's funny how fast time goes. The new Bali Agriculture Field Lab facility will come online in the fall of 26. So students have that opportunity to just see some amazing facilities. We're unique in that we still have all of our animal teaching facilities right near campus. So many universities, as the kind of cities and areas have grown up around them, they've lost the ability to have their animal units right near campus. So for some students, they have to travel, you know, 3 hours away to get to some of their agriculture facilities where it's a 5-minute drive. Our students utilize those lab facilities, you know, weekly for their courses. So if we can get them here on campus, it is really easy to kind of get them sold on what we have to offer.
Awesome.
The other question that I have is, if you're in high school right now, there are so many career opportunities out there for kids, and agriculture offers so many opportunities. And I think we're not having as many students necessarily coming off of the farm, as you alluded to earlier. So for someone who might not necessarily grow up on a farm, what's the appeal to look to agriculture?
I get asked that a lot. You know, we'll meet with prospective students, and they don't always understand, or they can't envision themselves in agriculture. But you can have that conversation and show them, you know, are you interested in computers? We utilize computer systems so much within that agricultural industry. And so, right, I'm like, the tractors, they're going to use computers. The economists, they're going to use computers. People that are doing weather forecasting for our ag commodities, they're going to use computers. Like, they're there. And so if you're on the programming side or if you're interested in the data science side, that's there. If they're interested in banking, investments, insurance, all of that occurs on the agricultural side. Almost anything that I talk to somebody about, there's a job for that on the agricultural side. They just don't realize it because they haven't heard about it yet.
It's not just plows and cows anymore. There are so many opportunities in agriculture. And I think sometimes we get wrapped up in coming out of high school thinking about so many other things that we forget about all of the opportunities that are there.
I know. And that's one of the other things I always talk to the students about. You know, at NDSU, the College of Agriculture in terms of student numbers is the smallest of the five colleges. However, we have an amazing amount of scholarships that are available for students. And so I tell them, you know, your ability to get money for scholarships to support your, you know, education experience here, you have a really good chance within our college. We just have some amazing donors that are really wonderful at supporting our student experience.
I know when I was attending NDSU, both as an undergrad and a graduate, I was certainly a recipient of some of those scholarships and just eternally grateful to those donors. Just eternally grateful. And it was so easy. It was almost like the advisors and the people in that professional degree program kind of line you up with that as a student.
Right.
Yeah. And Carrie, if anybody's interested in getting more information on the program, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Oh, best way to get in touch with me is by email. I'm rarely in my office, so it's pretty easy. It's my first name dot last name. So Carrie, Carrie dot Hammer, Hammer at ndsu.edu. Or if you are in the internet, just Google Carrie Hammer NDSU. My name will come up. My email, my contact information is there.
Awesome. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
You bet. It was great to be here.
I learned something new. I didn't know equines and dogs and cats could...
Equines? You mean horses?
Sure. I'm trying to sound smarter than I really am.
Just kidding, Dean.
I did not know that they had acupuncture and chiropractor. That's amazing. Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to do a recap of the weather. We're going to talk about the rain that's coming in here over the next couple of days and possible record warmth coming to our area next week. Just amazing. We'll have more on that coming up right after the break. Hey, welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 152 in the afternoon, and temperatures outside are at 83 degrees. A beautiful afternoon. There's a few showers up around Thief River moving northeastward. Other than that, the rest of the area is dry, and we're going to have highs today. We'll top out a few more degrees higher than we are right now, mid-80s across most of the area with a northwest wind only about 5 to 10. And again, as we head into tomorrow, not as nice as today, but if you have outdoor plans tomorrow, we're still looking pretty nice with temperatures in the 70s. Looks like upper 70s tomorrow. A little breezier out of the northeast, and we'll see clouds increasing throughout the day. Now, Wednesday night, we'll start to see showers move in from the south. Kind of like the last system that we had, it moved in from the central plains. Now, it gave quite a bit of severe weather to parts of the state, out in the central part of the state on Sunday. It's going to be a similar system to that, but it's going to be weaker. So we're not looking at a big outbreak of severe weather with this as it moves northward into our area Thursday and Friday. Thursday and Friday look wet. If you have outdoor plans on Thursday and Friday, good luck. It's going to be a wet one. And we're getting strong indications of about an inch of rain between Thursday and early Saturday before that storm system exits Saturday afternoon and leaving us with a much better looking Sunday with temperatures in the 70s. About an inch and a half of rain over much of the area is probably a good bet. I know that's not great news for harvest, but it has been at least in the FM area a little bit dry, so we could use a little bit of moisture. And then next week, I don't see a whole lot in the way of precip next week, and we are going to have temps approaching 90 degrees
90 degrees.
We'll have temps approaching 90 by Wednesday and Thursday of next week.
So when I was leaving the GK Technology Mapping Cave in Hillsboro, North Dakota, earlier today, and
AKA your house?
Yes. From Hillsboro and driving south, they were digging beets, you know, doing the pre-pile. Mm-hmm. Are we going to be able to be pre-piling these beets for most of the week then? Or when do you think the rain is going to start this week?
The rain, it'll start Wednesday night. And then Thursday and Friday, both days look wet. So probably not going to get much done on Thursday and Friday.
So those of you on a gleaner combine, you're going to have to park it on Thursday.
Bingo.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And then, like I said, as we head into the weekend, I know there's a lot of stuff going on around town. We've got Westfest going on this weekend. And by Saturday evening for the concert, it looks okay. I know there's a concert Friday night out at the Lights. That looks wet. So I wish I had better news on that. I know Jay is about ready to stone me here because he's got his last cruise night on Thursday night. And unfortunately, that looks like it's going to be it's going to be a washout there. But as I said, all next week looks dry. This is good. Like you said,
it's good
for sugar beets. And we haven't started the corn or the beans yet.
No, we're going to need those 90 degree temperatures to get those beans to ripen.
Out.
Yep, and get them to dry out. If you're soil sampling still behind the wheat combines, the small grain's been off. If you're soil sampling next week, get that WD-40 ready, especially if you're on the Fargo clay. You're probably going to need it to get the cores to come out of the probe.
Now, we've had a problem. So we've got plenty of, we were talking with one of our guests the other day with the excess of beans and with the tariffs on China now. Mm-hmm. So when we're harvesting the beans this year, obviously they're going to have to be put in bins because we're not selling them. And if we don't get this solved soon, this is going to be a big problem, obviously.
It already is a big problem, to be honest with you. So a couple of things. If you remember back to June, we had that big derecho.
Right.
And that derecho took out a lot of grain storage throughout North Dakota. Furthermore, farmers usually don't plan to store 100% of their crop anyway at harvest. So we weren't planning on storing that crop. And actually, there's a lot of farmers that have kind of become sort of conditioned to selling their beans or at least delivering their beans at harvest time. And then they would probably lean more towards storing their corn. So this whole idea that we don't really have a market right now can be kind of an issue. And it is actually an issue. We actually had an elevator. It was actually a fairly large elevator within this listing area that I know for a good part actually didn't have a bid to buy beans during harvest for about it was at least 3 weeks. Wow. They just put a bid back up on the board on Friday. But there's really no market. There's nobody buying out there at the P&W. So that is a major issue right now.
Man. Well, I mean, hopefully at least the weather will cooperate where, you know, we can get the harvest in without any hiccups. And
we're not going to have any freezes here for like the month of October, are we?
Oh, well, boy, you're asking for a lot there, aren't you?
And then give me some snow this winter too, so I can go snowmobiling.
How about that first week of October looks pretty good. After that, all bets are off. But
okay, well, even that'll get us pretty far. We got to get that corn. I was looking at some corn, a lot of half to quarter milk line yet. So hopefully we can get a little ways out before we get a hard freeze on it.
That's right. Amen. Well, for Sarah and myself and for Carrie, thanks for joining us today on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere, though. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.